The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear to hear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Hear now a somewhat dramatic reading from the Athanasian Creed. Whoever wants to be saved should, above all, cling to the Catholic faith. Whoever does not guard it whole and inviolable will doubtless perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the essence. For there is one person in the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Spirit. But the deity of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal, such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father unlimited, the Son unlimited, and the Holy Spirit unlimited. The Father is eternal, the Son is eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal. Yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal. Also, there are not three uncreated, nor three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite. So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, and the Spirit almighty, and yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, and yet they are not three gods, but one God. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Spirit is Lord, and yet, not three lords, but one Lord. As Christian truth compels us to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so are we forbidden by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or three lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made, not created, but begotten. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made, nor created, nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal and co-equal, so that in all things, as aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. Whoever wants to be saved should think thus about the Trinity. That was clear? Worthy of note, the whole concept of the Trinity is exclusively Christian. There is no equivalent in the Jewish faith. Likewise, Islam, which regards Jesus as holy and central to their faith, does not conflate the human and the divine. Thus, there is no God the Son in the Muslim faith, which, after reviewing this Athanasian Creed, really simplifies a problem. But in the history of our faith, we have very stubbornly clung to this idea of a triune God and tripped over ourselves repeatedly as we try, with little success, to explain it. In fact, Catholicism designated many, many categories of heresies For all the wrong ways priests and theologians attempted to explain the Trinity in an understandable and accessible way. For most of these analogies or explanations could be interpreted to suggest that God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are three distinct entities and thus three gods. And what is especially frustrating is that the idea of the Trinity is barely biblical. Jesus once, in the Gospel of Matthew, in what is called the Great Commission, instructs the disciples to go and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Paul, in his letters, often ends with a blessing with reference to all three persons. This was the basis for Trinitarian theology. And what a blessing from our Christian ancestors to designate one Sunday a year that we pastors are tasked with standing before our congregations and try to explain what we mean when we talk about God in three persons. I think it is very good advice when we are trying to share our faith to approach this topic like any other topic, resisting trying to instruct with what to think, but rather how to go about thinking. To encourage you to ask yourselves why this is important, or even if it is important. Because what is essential when we are tasked with pondering any theological question is first to consider how these affect or don't affect our walking, living, organic relationship with God. The past 3 weeks, our gospel readings have featured the gift of the Holy Spirit given to believers after the human body of Jesus leaves the earth. The Spirit is the advocate, the truth, the breath of God we receive in our baptism, the Spirit of truth and the holy wisdom of God, which dwells within each of us and resides between us, above us, and beside us, always, never leaving or forsaking us. The promise of eternal communion with our God, which empowers us to do the impossible, to love one another, and to grow in community. And if we are to review the relationship between God and humanity from the very beginning, if we look at the history of our relationship rationally and chronologically, it appears that when we say God the Father, we are referring to the God of creation, the God of Abraham. And God then comes to us in Jesus, thus becoming God the Son, who lives among us and teaches us, is crucified by the world and resurrected, conquering death and granting us eternal life in the ever-present and future kingdom. Upon leaving, takes the form of the Holy Spirit within us to keep us company until the Son returns, which should be easy peasy. But the Gospel of John contradicts this. In the very first verse of the first chapter, when the author writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people." Thank you, John. So now that rational, chronological Father, then Son, then Spirit understanding goes out the window. For what the author of John's Gospel was adamant that the readers and hearers would understand before John even begins to tell the story of Jesus is that God, Jesus, Spirit, have been with us and have been a part of us since the very beginning, even if we were only aware of one entity being revealed to us at a time. So let's go back to the beginning. The gift of life was given to humanity by the very breath of God when God first breathed life into Adam. The name for God most often used throughout the Hebrew scriptures is Yahweh. God identified God's self to Moses with that oft-quoted title, I Am, indicating that the God of creation, God of Abraham, had no name. Yahweh does not have any sort of meaning in the Hebrew language. The most popular translation, or should I say interpretation of this title, is that Yahweh is the sound of a breath. Yah, breathe in. Way, breathe out. Yah, way. Can we try that? Yah, way. And thus God being the giver and sustainer of life through breath. And breath itself, being a moving and flowing cycle, signifies the constant and flowing work of God amongst creation. During his ministry, Jesus never concerned himself with right doctrine or right belief. In fact, on several occasions, he contradicted this sort of belief-qualifying standard for salvation, preferring instead to emphasize the central role of love of neighbor, love of enemy, love itself in all of its forms. Jesus himself was a manifestation of God's love for the world, and the gift of the Spirit breathed into the disciples was an extension of that same life-giving and sustaining love God the Father breathed into Adam at the beginning of creation. The Trinity, while a description of the three distinct and also unified persons of God, is in and of itself a demonstration of the power and everlasting presence of the love of God for us and the love within us that we are called to extend to one another. As your pastor, I am not concerned that you understand the Trinity in the right way. In fact, if you understood the Athanasian Creed I read in the beginning with perfect clarity, please see me after and enlighten me. If you prefer an analogy, and my favorite compares the Trinity to water in the forms of solid, liquid, and vapor. But be careful, because repeating that, because it falls under modulism, which is, of course, a heresy in Catholicism. Gratefully, I do not suffer under the burden of being Catholic, but always be on guard that as the way that we share our faith is as capable of being life-giving, it may also lead others astray. And there is another reason why the focus on right belief and right doctrine is such a messy trap. However you understand the Trinity, my only desire for you is that you allow it to transform or to inform your relationship with your Creator. Knowing that in whatever form God has revealed himself to you in your life, however you pray to God in times of lamentation, of need, of thanksgiving, or in joy, God has been with us from the very beginning of creation and is the very breath of life and love. That no matter what trials and pains you face in your life, that Yahweh is at work within you, around you, within and above you, within your neighbor and your enemy. We, you and I, are living, breathing extensions of the Trinity. We are a part of this cycle of life-giving breath. Believe by the resurrection of Christ that even from death, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is always creating new life and does not depend on our right belief or perfect understanding of high theological concepts, which were, let's face it, the invention of monks thousands of years ago with too much time on their hands. In Psalm that we heard this morning, it read, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses, what are mere mortals that you shall be mindful of them? Human beings that you should care for them, yet you have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor you crown them." Understanding the Trinity means understanding ourselves, understanding the greatness of God's love within us, embracing the loving power of the Spirit, the creation power of God, the Father, and the saving love of Christ. When we participate in creation, when we participate in the cycle of life-giving, life-sustaining love, we become unified with the love of God, and in doing so, we give a living, breathing testimony to all the world that all who witness may join in this dance. This is our call. This is our purpose. This is the message of the Trinity. Thanks be to God.